Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Bettering Myself podcast. I am your host, Malia Williams. And today I kind of just want to talk about how I got into the field of cybersecurity, just in case there's someone out there who's thinking about changing careers, or you know you want to do cybersecurity and you don't know where to start, because I know what it's like to start from ground zero and not having any real guidance. But before I get into that, you guys, I have like a really mean headache. Like, my head is throbbing and I'm just not having a good day. Okay. Like, work was, it was just one of those days, you know, dealing with people. And it's just kind of like, I'm just trying to do my job. Can you just do your job? And yeah, now I'm here and I'm just like, I need to take more PTO. But besides that, another thing too is I was looking over my finances and y'all, I've been spending in the span of 2 months, $534 on La La Land. And mind you, when I go to La La, I only get two things, either a matcha or a croissant, either a matcha and no croissant or both. I never just go up there and get a croissant. But yeah, I saw that. I was like, yeah, it's time to start making matcha at home. And that's exactly what I'm going to start doing. I already have like my Amazon list of what I specifically want from, like, I want the rec glass jars. And then there's the specific matcha brand I want to try that's ceremonial grade. So we'll see about that. And I want this specific matcha kit as well, like the whisk and the bowl. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. I mean, I think the real challenging thing here is how can I mimic my drink to taste exactly like La La? I saw a TikTok that said that their secret syrup is actually maple syrup. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So yeah, stay tuned for that. I don't know. Whenever I get the stuff and actually commit to making it, I'll let you know if I could replicate it at home, because it's so good. Oh my goodness. That's like my favorite drink. And I tried only three other matcha places prior to getting to La La, and I'm choosing La La every single time. But anyways, let me get started with this episode. So for starters, I did not always want to be in cybersecurity. My original passion was medicine. I wanted to become a surgeon. I was very committed, like high school, 10th grade. I was watching Grey's Anatomy. I was going to the library to read science books. I was doing volunteer work at hospitals. Like, I was trying to build up my resume for college. And then when I got to freshman year of college, I decided to major in biology. And I joined the pre-med club as well as, yeah, I think at school only did the pre-med club. And I was doing volunteer work outside of school as well. And I'm trying to think of what else I was doing, because I was always doing a whole bunch of stuff. Like, one thing about me, I'm always proactive. I'm always trying to find programs. I'm always trying to find something to do to add on my resume. Like, I was even doing MCAT prep, like the whole nine. And then I also changed my major to chemistry. And I changed it again to like some other science major at Dominguez Hills, which I don't recall what it was. So yeah, I was very committed to becoming a surgeon. There was nothing that was going to waver me from that. I even was thinking about transferring to USC because there wasn't a lot of universities that had human biology as a major. So yeah, that was that. And then, of course, COVID hits, and I think that's the pivotal moment for everybody. So I was like, you know what? I need to start looking into a different career and see what is something I might possibly be interested in, because one thing about me is I'm a lifelong learner. I like to be challenged and I like to critical think, you know. Don't get me wrong, sometimes I do like a black and white process, but sometimes not everything is like that, and I know because I deal with that at my job. So yeah, and then I started to do research because I was like, you know, maybe I could get into IT, you know, because I'm always using these devices and we got Wi-Fi connected to the internet. But I want to understand all that instead of being a consumer, you know, just understand how all that stuff works. And then I got to researching and I found out that there was like a whole bunch of different fields of cybersecurity. Like, one thing about cyber is very broad. You know, people always say it's technical and there's non-technical roles like GRC and stuff like that. So I will say, if you're interested in cyber, always start with researching and see where you want to be. Because after you research, you could go on LinkedIn and see pretty much what employers are looking for when it comes to certifications and experience, and just see, you know, what you could do to make yourself more competitive. So anyway, back to the story. I started doing research, and then I was still kind of confused. I was like, well, I don't really know exactly how to get in. And then I started reaching out to other people. And these people were more like pen testers, like ethical hackers and stuff. And they were just saying like, yeah, you should get your A+. And I didn't really know how to do that either. I was just like, oh, like, what would be the best way for me to study for this exam? And mind you, this exam was like I don't remember how much the exam is, but it's like $300 and up. So I still didn't really take the A+ exam yet, because I kind of felt scattered. I was like, okay, I don't really know what I want to do. I just know I want to get in cybersecurity, and people are telling me to do the A+ security plus network plus, you know, your CompTIA trifecta. So instead, I thought it would have been easier if I just did a boot camp. Now, mind you, do not recommend a boot camp unless it's free or you could afford to do a boot camp. Do not do a boot camp where it says like, oh, you could pay us after you complete the, you know, the program, and once you find a job. Because first of all, those boot camps are like, I don't know, like $30,000 or something like that. It's almost like the same as tuition at universities. So I highly recommend avoiding those at all costs. They're definitely red flags. But anyways, I did do a boot camp like that. And I think it was 6 months. And it definitely exposed me to like concepts and stuff that I never heard of before. Don't get me wrong. But even after the boot camp, one, I didn't even find a cyber job immediately. Two, I still kind of felt like, okay, well, like, what's next steps? So mind you, I'm still in college, by the way. And I was still just one thing. Like I said, one thing about me is I'm always applying for stuff. So I'm just constantly applying, figuring out how I could get my foot in the door with cybersecurity. So since I'm in school, I figured there was like some advantage of, you know, joining programs and stuff like that that's made for students. So at my school, I only did the cybersecurity club. And on the side, I was just finding like other programs that were for college students related to cybersecurity. Like, I did a summer camp. Honestly, don't remember what it was. Honestly, I didn't even feel like it was helpful. But again, I was just doing things for my resume. Another program that I did that was pretty helpful was NPower. So NPower is a free program. I believe you have to be a veteran or the ages of 18 to 24. But when I joined the program, I think I did the IT support one. So I got my A+ certification through them. They provide the training, lectures, and the voucher. So it's a live lecture. So you actually have to attend, and then you have the instructor there, you know, it pretty much breaking down all the concepts. And then you get to, after the training course, you could do the voucher, if I remember this correctly. I don't know if they changed anything. So after NPower, after that was completed, I found a part-time position at my school as a student IT assistant. So I will say start there as well. If you are in school, like, just see if there's any jobs, you know, at your school. And I only did that, I don't remember if it was like for a month or two, but I didn't do it very long because I ended up finding another job where I was more like a virtual tech support. And that job was more like you are on a Zoom call with a lawyer, and like, it's pretty much a whole deposition. So you're pretty much just sitting there until like some technical issue happens, and then you just help troubleshoot. And I was there for only like 4 months. And then, oh wait, let me back up. Also with NPower, I think they're partner with other companies, because I know they was also trying to like help us get jobs and stuff. And I did have a job offer from one of their companies, but it didn't fall through because I wasn't vaccinated. And obviously, that was a big thing at the time because COVID was at its peak. And that job, the offer was like 69K. And I thought that was like, no, it was 68K. No, I think it was 67K. It was somewhere around there. And I was like so ecstatic because I was like, oh, this is like the most money I ever made. But it didn't fall through and I was sad. I was like, okay, well, on to the next one. So the biggest thing during this time was I was applying for a lot of help desk roles because you will often hear people say like, oh, you should apply for a help desk job before getting into cybersecurity because it's more like you're getting the foundations and, you know, you pretty much start from the ground zero and work your way up. I think for that, that's just to each their own. Like me, that didn't end up being my situation. Although that's what I was trying to do. I was like, let me just start from help desk. But you technically don't have to. Because I didn't. There's other people who didn't. They just like got the job that they really want. And yeah, so just throw that out there. But yeah, I was pretty much looking at help desk jobs. And the biggest thing at the time was just the COVID thing that was holding me back. Or sometimes the technical interviews. You know, I was trying to see how were the interviews and what they would be asking for and stuff like that. So that was definitely one of my weakest points at the time. So that's just a little tip. And then after that, I was like, you know what? I don't think there's anything out here for me in California. So my boyfriend and I decided to move to Texas, August of 22. Mind you, I discovered cyber October 2020. That's like when I started getting exposure and really trying to like figure out where I want to be. So my journey started October 2020. So August 2022, we moved to Texas and obviously there's no job lined up or anything. So I was like, I need to find me a job immediately, like quick. Because obviously I'm moving out here with not a lot of money and I was not about to be homeless in a whole different state. So I was like, let me just find anything as long as it paid decent. And I found a customer service job. And mind you, one of the things I was still doing, I was still applying for cyber and IT related stuff on the side. Jobs, internships, it didn't matter. Because one thing about me, you know, I always look at a job as a temporary thing. Like, okay, this is where I'm at. This is where I am now. But I'm going to just stay here until I could get where I want to be. That's how you should look at it. Mind you, this whole time, I'm still getting rejections, okay? And I think that's something that you should expect because the job market is already bad, for one. And then on top of that, cybersecurity is not an easy field to get into. The barrier to entry is really high. So don't even feel bad or discouraged if you are getting rejections. And at the same time, even when I look at these jobs on LinkedIn, they want like 10 years of experience and all these certifications. And honestly, it's just kind of wild. I'm just like, how are we as like the upcoming generation supposed to get jobs and, you know, really start our career if they want all this stuff? Another frustrating thing too, when I was going through my whole cybersecurity journey, was also the internships. Like, even with the internships, they want you to have experience. And I'm just like, dude, like, I'm trying to get experience. Why are you requiring experience? Like, I understand at least having basic knowledge of how to do certain things, but it seemed like they already want you to have professional experience of how to like do the job. And I was just so frustrated. I feel like I just got sidetracked, but the second internship pretty much turned into a full-time job. And that's how I got into my field of cybersecurity and became a cybersecurity engineer. So now I'm like at a place where I'm just trying to hone my skills and learn. And the good thing about my manager is the fact that he believes in cross training. So I'm definitely learning a lot of things and wearing a lot of different hats. And I guess you could say I'm a generalist, and I definitely have my interests of tools and things that I want to learn and such. And then on top of that, I do engineering and I also do vulnerability management. And that is pretty interesting. So right now, as far as like certifications go, you know, I'm just focusing now, trying to get my CrowdStrike Falcon admin cert, and my current certification stack, I guess you could say that's really relevant to cybersecurity. I would just call out the Security Plus. I mean, most of my certifications came from WGU because if you go there, the certifications are part of your classes and you get vouchers, you know, because it's part of your tuition. And that's pretty much where I am right now. I'm curious to see where I'll be down the line because, you know, I do want to get better at my job in this field and be like a SME, like a subject matter expert. It's, you know, in a specific tool or something. So I don't know. We'll see. But if I could go back and do it all over again, honestly, I would say I would go to JC College, like just go to a community college, do that for the first 2 years just to save money. You know, like you go to JC, do your first 2 years, then transfer, finish out your last 2 years. Like I don't see a problem with that. And then also focus on getting relevant certifications for the role that I want. And then also doing more personal labs, like home projects, because if you don't have professional experience, it's good to do like lab projects at home, because honestly, that's the only way you're really going to be able to really build stuff and test stuff and break stuff and really understand things. So that way, when you go into these interviews, you could be like, oh yeah, I did this project and this is what I did. And I mean, there's like a lot of cybersecurity projects on Reddit and different platforms out as well that you could try. So I will say like doing personal projects, and also just in addition to like what I was already doing as far as like finding more programs, just continue to apply for internships or any other program that could help build your resume. I mean, there's always that whole debate about degrees and certifications, like should you get a degree over a certification and vice versa, but I feel like it really just depends. I mean, I know there's people who got into the field without certifications and they just had a degree. But I think employers, they want everything. They want the degree, the certification, and the experience. But it's just like, you know, with Gen Z and all of us like trying to really get into our field, you're not going to have, like, we're not going to have that 10 years of experience unless, like, you start at a young age. But I think getting into cybersecurity is definitely doable, but it's challenging because, again, the barrier to entry is already high. Employers are asking for an arm and a leg to get into this field. So you're literally just going to have to keep pushing and pushing yourself until you get that one person to say yes. And as Nipsey Hussle says, how long till opportunity meet preparation? So you're just going to have to keep doing what you're supposed to do until it's that time. And then another thing I want to call out really quick is please don't fall for like the social media things you see where they be like, oh, get into cybersecurity for 6 months and then you're going to make like six figures. That is not impossible. It's not impossible, but I don't think that's the reality for the majority. If you're able to be one of those people where, you know, you got into cybersecurity and within 6 months, you're already making six figures, then kudos to you because in this economy. But yeah, everything you need to find is on Google or YouTube. So please don't buy anybody's course about how to get into cybersecurity. It's not needed. And and I'll make sure to link everything in the show notes. And I hope you guys found this episode very informational. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye.